Well, return with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you so much. I've said many times, I hope that my preaching is not as dry to you as my mouth gets. I want to express from my wife and myself again what a sweet, sweet delight it has been to be with you all again. Thank you. Just marvelous to be with you. I say this with all my heart. We get to spend together for eternity in heaven. And I am, as you already know, odd in so many ways. Please don't take this offensively. I love to preach funerals. I love weddings and I love funerals. I love weddings because I believe that outside of my own personal salvation, that the greatest gift God has given to me is the gift of marriage. Amen. And I'm grateful for my sweet wife and that we get to share this together in this fourth quarter of our life. And so I thank God for that. But I also, in a wedding, I never do a wedding the same way. Every time I do one, it's totally different. But always give the gospel because there's unsaved people that are attending that wedding. For the same reason, it's why I love doing funerals. Because people are thinking about death. And I'm not going to preach, if that person is unsaved, I'm not going to preach him into heaven. I'm going to give him the gospel. But here's what I want to say in all of that. I love preaching the funeral. I preached the funeral of my dad, of my mom, and of my little girl, and had part in the funeral of my father-in-law. I love doing funerals for believers. Because I'm going to tell you why. I like to look at that casket and say, whatever the name is, I'll just say, Dad. Dad, I'm not going to say goodbye. I'll just say, I'll see you later. So even tonight, when we depart out of here, it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you later. Amen? Okay? I mean, that's living with an eternal perspective. Right? And a lot of times folks will ask me, they'll say, how you doing? I'll say, I'm living, and the alternative's even better. Yeah. So, I want to wrap things up tonight with a burden on my heart as we have worked our way through all of this concerning one of the greatest things that we need to be careful of. I should show the most dangerous thing, and I want to walk through the outline from this morning with you just real quick here. Just too many things to think of, you know. There we go. So, what would you say is the most dangerous thing for a Christian? And we talked about identity amnesia, that we forget who we are in Christ, and that our life is Christ, and then. What would you say is the most dangerous thing for a church living in the culture of today? It's an identity crisis because if you forget who you are in Christ, then as a body of believers coming together, you forget that the body of Christ is to look like Christ. And so therefore, when you lose your why, you don't know the way. And the why that we exist is Christ. And He is the way for the church. And then, I mentioned this morning that the identity of Faith Community Church is based solely on its relationship to Christ. Reminded us this morning that as our corporate identity, who we are as a local church, we're a chosen generation. And then, we're a royal priesthood, we're kings, we're priests, we're called to reign in this life, and as a believer priest, we're called to a life of prayer and to bring an offering to God. Now, I want you to see, second of all, or thirdly, we're a holy nation. So if you're keeping your outline and you're writing, you can catch up with me there. But let's read the Scriptures because always the Scriptures are the most important thing that you're going to hear. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to begin again in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Wow. Let's pray together. Lord, it's a delight to be gathered here again this evening. It is of your will and of your plan that we would be gathered here. And so as we open our eyes, we desire to behold wondrous things out of your law. Teach us truth. And I pray that you would deal with every one of these, your servants, according to your mercy, and you would teach us your statutes. Lord, it is time for you to work. We're living in a world that is obviously turned from you, and the church needs to be identified as it is the body of Christ. So may we tonight love your commandments more than gold. May we find ourselves absolutely hungering and thirsting after righteousness tonight. So we're grateful that your word is sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. Precious are your thoughts toward us. Instruct us and teach us. And Lord, again, I pray for two more things. And I ask that you would enable me to accomplish your will. I cannot do it. But greater is he that's in me that sees in the world, and it is God who works in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And that's what I want tonight. And then I ask for the congregation gathered that they would have ears to hear, heart to obey, and again, we'd walk out of here tonight and say, oh, what a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look at this phrase, a holy nation. The word holy here means set apart. Set apart for God, exclusively His. And that takes you all the way back to Friday night, in that we are chosen, that we are a part of the elect, we are in Christ. And here's the thing I want you to see from the word nation, that we are a multitude of individuals of the same nature. Now, please get this. If you were to come to East Tennessee, and you, if I take you over to Carter County or to Sullivan County or up into Johnson County, I can introduce to you some people that talk like this. Hey, how are you? Or, well, I just want you to know I shot me an 8-pointer. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's their culture. And then I've heard several of you are from New York. Yeah, whatever. And we're from all different locations. But in the body of Christ, we are one set apart nation in that we have one nature. It is Christ. Amen. We have been united in Christ, baptized in Christ. We have been set apart in Christ by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you look at one another, are you ready for this? When you look at one another, you don't go, he's a New Yorker, he's an East Tennessean. You look at him and you say, are you ready for this? It's going to sound radical. He's Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. I realize that we're looking forward to the day when he appears. For when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to have that glorified body. Amen? Hallelujah? But as a believer, my nature now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is no longer me, but it is Christ in me. And what unites us in this holy nation is a person. It's not our preferences. It's not our where we came from. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the authority of one king and under the authority of the laws of one kingdom. And here it is. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that good success is not financial success in the American dream. It's walking the Christ life. And so, it's a privilege that is not natural to us. Because I'm so tempted to want to go my own way, think my own thoughts. And the prerogative that we have now as a believer comes by spiritual birth. And we talked about these things this morning, what comes before here, that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and we've been made a part of this holy nation. A bunch of multiple people of the same nature coming together to function as kingdom people. Let me show you a couple of passages of Scripture. Quickly go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, will you? To your left, Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to notice, if you would, verse 17. And before I read this passage, I want to just take a little side note just for a moment and challenge you to study the prayers of Paul in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans. I'm telling you, Paul prayed in the will of God because he prayed the Word of God, and it is, you won't find Paul praying for God to heal people. He wants to go deeper than that. And I'm convinced of this, that in our churches, in our nation, our praying is so superficial. It is not praying the Word, and we're praying more people out of heaven than we are out of hell. And I want you to watch this prayer. I want you to sink your taproots into it. This is the prayer of people who speak of this heavenly language. One nation. Watch, look at it. He says in verse 15, whereunto I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now watch this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you a good day and bless your family. Amen. Look what he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. Spiritual insight. I'm going to tell you right now, spiritual wisdom is a whole lot better than a good day. Because a good day only happens when you walk in spiritual wisdom. In other words, you match up to the nature of which you were birthed into, this holy nation. You come to understand the language of God. Notice what he says here. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the unveiling of the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of God. Whether it's Dan or Bob or Ryan or whoever stands here and preaches the Word, you ought to be praying verse 17 for that individual. Oh God, as they preach the Word, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Not help him preach a good sermon, Lord. And the same thing, wives, for your husbands. You wives ought to be praying, verse 17, you're part of a holy nation. This is your language. This is your nature. That you would pray for your husband, that he would be a man of spiritual wisdom, and that the Word of God would be opened to him and revealed to him day after day after day, because he's the shepherd of your home and he's to lead you in the paths of righteousness just as the chief shepherd does. Verse 18, you can make other applications out of what I just said, but the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, notice his prayer is not earthly. It's turned toward eternal things. Your inheritance. We're not home yet. God did not save you and redeem you to make life easy for you. He redeemed you so that Christ could live his life out of you and that you could come to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power. Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Notice what he says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Oh God, I pray for my wife today as she goes to work, that she would just appropriate the exceeding greatness of your power as she believes and thinks on you according to the working of your mighty power in and through her. May as she cooks meals, listen, I pray often that my wife, when she's cooking, that God will give her strength to be able to do that task of hospitality and that she'll be able to do it by God's power for the glory of God. This is biblical praying, right? This is the prayer of people who are of one nature. We have been redeemed and the Holy Spirit has changed us. And if any man be in Christ, he's a what? And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. A new nature, Romans 6. And then verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Friends, I'm so delighted this morning when I know it's going to happen, when on a Sunday morning you're going to gather on the sidewalk out there. You're going to gather in here in the auditorium, you ladies, and then I see you in these rooms praying. Can I encourage you to lift the level of your praying? Let's go beyond, Lord, help us to have a good service. Two, somebody just turn to Ephesians 1 and pray this prayer with all your heart. You want to pray in the will of God? Pray the Word of God. There's another great one in chapter 3, but we won't have time to go there. And there's others. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were one time far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of hostility, partition between us, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, that's the church, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We are brothers and sisters in Christ of one holy nation. The hostility has been removed, and when Christ is exalted, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And you know what else? You speak the same language. It's the Word of God. Because your nationality is spiritual. It's heavenly. Not earthly. Wow. So Romans 12, 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. See, that's why when you heard me say this morning about when you have a meeting, You don't want to be interested in who all is in favor and who all is in not. Because if you're of one nation, you're under one king. It doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not. It's what the king says. And you want to know what the king's saying. I'm telling you, if you're the herald, then by the way, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, you know, 2 Timothy 4:2. You know what that word preach is? It's the word caruso, which is we get our word herald, preach. And I want you to know, if you were the herald of a king and you didn't repeat exactly what the king said, you know what happened to you? And that's why we as preachers had better be preaching the word. And we better be in the word, studying the word, coming to know the mind of Christ, because we've been given the mind of Christ, so that when we stand here, we are saying, "Thus saith the Lord," not "Thus saith Dale Cunningham." I could care less what I say to you. It's the word. It's the word. I can't change anybody. And you can't either. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces the dividing asunder the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Hallelujah. That's why you need to pray the Scriptures. We're a holy nation. And then, what did I do wrong? There we go. We're God's special possession. Just for a second, because I want to end it with us going to the latter part of verse 9. I just want to tell you tonight, do you realize that you are God's prized possession? A collective term that emphasizes our unity in Christ. A peculiar, a prized people, if you would please. A people of His own possession. Wow. I want to say to you tonight, at the cross, watch this. At the cross, if you'll think with me and picture in your mind, here's the cross. Christ dying on that cross. On this side, every one of us before salvation, are you with me? Every one of us before salvation, as we look to the cross, we are equal. For all have and come short of the glory of God. You know what that looks like? Frank and I, we're going to beef up. We're going to run. We're going to exercise. And he and I are going to go to San Diego and find the longest pier and jump to Hawaii. And I promise you, I'm going to get a hat just like that. Okay? So Frank, next year, we're going to run. We're going to beef up, man. And I'll meet you in a year from now in San Diego, okay? So we meet, we're going to the pier, and I look at him, and I say, "Frank, in all due respect, I don't want to make you feel bad, but since you're my elder, I'm going to let you go first." So Frank, he gets going, and he gets to the end of the pier, and he jumps. You're with me, Bubba. And while he's out there doing this, I'm going, "Hey, Frank! Watch me, man. I'm younger than you." I don't care what he and I could do. We will always come short of making it to Hawaii. That's what Romans 3 is saying. Religion, good works, whatever it is, all of us on this side of the cross, we come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But here's what I want to make a point. When it comes to a peculiar people, we're all equal. And let me tell you who's in that line. Are you ready? Hitler, Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson. We are equal. We're all sinners. See, religionists don't like to hear that because we like to think we're a little good. No, we're totally depraved. But what does Jesus Christ do? He comes and steps in our place and takes our position as our substitute. Now, when I receive Christ, guess what? I'm no longer coming up short. I am now in His righteousness, and now I become His prized possession. And every one of us who have received Christ as personal Lord and Savior by faith that God gives to us, we're now all equal in Christ. What does that say to you? Let me tell you what it ought to say to you. Through Christ, you can get past your past. There's no guilt. When Christ died on the cross, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was placed upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. That passage is not talking about physical healing. It's talking about spiritual healing. And the passage is telling us, not only did Jesus Christ take our sins on His body on that tree, but He also took care of the guilt. And I'm rejoicing to be able to tell you that we are His prized possession. And no matter what you've done in your past, when you confess that, even now that you're a believer, and you look at that and you say, God, that's the old me in Christ. This is the new me. And I'm a prized possession. And I want to remind you tonight of that. For where sin abounds, does what? Much more abound. Amen. Look at this. Here's who we are tonight. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, and God's own special possession. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body. Now, having said that, our corporate function, what do we do as a local church? And here's where I want to end things tonight, which means we'll be here for another hour. I want you to get this, please. I've been meditating on this all afternoon. I want you to know what he says. So we're going to go back to verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people. See a little word that? It's introducing a purpose clause now. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice the phrase that you would show forth. This word, show forth, proclaim, perhaps in your translation, means to tell out, to tell abroad, to publish, to make known. What are we to make known? What are we to share? What is our language? What's the substance of our speech? If we're a holy nation, a peculiar people, notice what he says, that we are to proclaim, to show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. The word praises, another word is the excellencies. Are you ready? What he's talking about here is more than the act of praise. It is the content of praise and the ground of praise. Meaning, the attributes of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the character of God, the power of God, it's who God is. We proclaim the praises of God, the excellencies of God, and friends, to do that. You see, our language is heavenly language. The substance of our life is an eternal life. It's Jesus Christ. By the way, John 3:16, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have heaven. Is that what it says? No. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have what? And life is Zoe, life in the Greek word, meaning a person. It's not heaven. We think, I'm saved and going to heaven. It's more than that, friend. There's something between saved and heaven, and His name's Jesus. And He gives you Himself. God the Father becomes your heavenly Father. And some of you in here may have never had an earthly father that loved you. May I tell you, you need to come to know this heavenly Father who loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Who loves you as much as He loves His own Son. And the Holy Spirit to reveal and teach you who the Trinity is. The excellencies of God. But you see, friends, to know God, to be able to declare who God is, you've got to spend time in the Word of God. You know, my car broke down the other day and I took it to a dentist. What are you laughing about? A dentist has got drills. He's got chisels. And may I tell you that the reason why we're about this deep spiritually and we are not able to have a conversation about how great is our God is because in our daily life, we're taking our broken down automobile of life to a dentist. Are you with me? And we don't know. As I mentioned Friday night, I believe it was, we know some things about our God. But do we really know Him? Do you know His attributes? Can you enumerate one by one almost 40 things that you receive because of Christ dying on the cross? I want to show it to you in verse 2. Look at verse 1 first. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Can I just say this to you? I'm afraid to announce this to you. But what I read in verse 1 really is many times what the church looks like. It's things we're to put away. Our homes. He says, lay aside. In other words, he says, rid yourselves of all malice. That's that deep anger, all guile, the speech that is corrupt and that the pretense. Are you ready for this? One of my favorite all-time stories in what I had called pastor's pals for many years. I had kids come down front and I'd do an object lesson with them and I'd sing a song with them and whatever. And you just played off of them. You never knew what was going to happen. It was great. And one Sunday morning, I was telling the children about their speech, whatever, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, you know, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying. And one little boy, I had a microphone, I was asking him questions, I don't know what the question was, but one little boy said, "My mommy and daddy had a fight on the way to church this morning, and they were sitting in the auditorium." I said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And they had. But you know what was interesting? When they came into church, everything was fine. Now, that's hypocrisies and envies. Well, I want to play the piano. I'm tired of Ryan playing the piano. I think I'm a better pianist than he is. I think I'm a better teacher than they are. And all evil speakings. I'm telling you, one of the things that will kill a church is talking behind people's backs and saying things about them that you wouldn't say to their face. God help us. He says, get rid of all that. Look at verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's look at verse 2. If I'm in a holy nation, I'm a chosen generation, I'm a part of the body of Christ, then how am I going to operate that lest I have identity amnesia and an identity crisis? I better know Christ, I better know God, and the only way that I can know that is through the Word of God. Let's walk through this verse. As newborn babes. Obviously, it means just recently born. Well, you know as well as I do, new Christians need nourishment from God's Word to grow spiritually, right? I mean, a little baby cries for what? They want milk. But as Hebrews 5 tells us that as we are growing older in the faith, we want to move beyond the elementary principles to where we are getting meat. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when I go to Longhorn, don't set a glass of milk in front of me. As newborn babes, but even as older saints, I want you to key in on something. This word, desire the sincere or pure milk of the Word. Are you ready for this? Spiritual life requires suitable food for that life. Jesus Himself said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that departs out of the mouth of God. So let's just establish something here. Just like a newborn babe has to have milk, and an older saint as they're growing needs to have meat, the meat of the Word, it needs to be food that's suitable for spiritual growth. Now watch this. I love you, want to tell you this. I'm thankful for every devotional book that's ever been written that's true. I'm thankful for all the commentaries that have been written over the years by good godly men. But every devotional book, remember the old term Sunday school courtly? You remember that one? You used to call it Sunday school courtly. Everything that man has ever produced, there's fallacies in it. Somewhere. And Scripture, Jesus Himself said that we're not to hunger and thirst after Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, whoever it may be. He said, we're to desire the pure Word of God because this book is the only book suitable for your spiritual health. Where else shall we go? We go to Christ because He has the words of life. As a matter of fact, when anybody comes to you, I don't care what... Oh, friends, please, please, please get this. When somebody comes to you and says, my marriage is falling apart, my kids are not doing right, I just lost my job, I don't know what I'm going to do. And in essence, you know what they're saying? Where can I go? And you say, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest because I have the words of life. Inside, I'm jumping up and down and I'm stomping and snorting like an old East Tennessee preacher. Don't give them human viewpoint. Don't tell them psychological pablum. Give them truth. But you can't give them what you don't know. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I want to say it again. Spiritual life must have spiritual food. Or you'll dry up and wither, and you'll be about that deep. And all you can say is, I'm saved and going to heaven. And you have no idea what the Christ life is like. How awesome. And we sang about it a while ago. When we started singing, How Great is Our God, my wife looked up to me because we both connected right on the spot. We were riding on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they were playing that song over that boat that day when we were riding on that pristine lake, or that sea. Wow. And my Jesus walked on that water. Whew. How great is our God. You know what? Can I just want to lovingly say to you, it's marvelous to come here and to sing How Great is Our God. But through the week, never spend time at His feet. Here we are. We're praising Him. But the ground of our praise is so weak because we do not know Him. And I beg you that you would come like this passage. Here's Peter speaking to these strangers. These folks that have been scattered. And to the churches where this letter went. And he said, like newborn babes, watch this next word, desire. Friends, when church was done today, I desired something. Guess what it was? Thank you, ma'am. Food. And boy, howdy, was I glad to go to the back door. And Brother Bob said, we're going back to that same place we went last year. And I'm going, food. Because I desired food. And I'm just going to be right straight up honest with you. If we hadn't have been able to go to that restaurant, and if nobody would have come to Denise and me and said, hey, come and eat with us or whatever, you know what? I promise you, Denise and I would have found some food. Can I get a witness? because I desired food. Oh God, deliver us from saying, I don't have time. I don't know how I listen, there was a time in our world, Denise and myself, and I say this for God's glory, I worked 3 jobs at the same time. But I realized that if I'm going to pastor and be a husband to my wife, to be a dad to my girls, I needed the spiritual food. I needed the nourishment from God's Word. And I desired it and I longed for it. And I'm going to tell you something. I get up in the morning and I cannot wait to get into God's Word. I have to have it. I've got to have it. And like the psalmist, and I'll give you a challenge here. Several years ago, we're living in Tennessee, where we are now. We're living in a different house. This is the first house we lived in. And I found myself as a pastor. The Word had kind of gotten dusty. Just wasn't that urge for it. And for 23 days straight, I would sit on my back deck, Holston Mountain in the view in the background. I'd open up my Bible, and I'd go to Psalm 119, and on day one, I prayed through the first 8 verses. Just piece by piece, word for word, crying out to the Lord to teach me, help me to love God's Word. Then on the next day, the second 8 verse section. And I want you to know by the time that I was done, can I just tell you something for God's glory? I've never looked back. And one of the sweetest things that my wife and I enjoy together is sharing with one another what God's been teaching us. I'm telling you. As newborn babes, as older believers, desire, I'm telling you this, don't walk out of here tonight and go, okay, I'll do it. No. You need to be honest enough to say, you know what, God, I don't desire your word. I have been living like a hypocrite, but it is God who works in me, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And if it's your good pleasure that I be in your word and sit at your feet, then you give me that desire. And I promise you, He'll do it. Because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And I promise you this, even to this point, you know that your prime time is the first thing in the morning to be in the Word. And somebody calls you up and says, hey, will you come meet me for coffee? You desire it so much you would say, you know what, I have not been in the Word yet. How about waiting an hour? I'll catch you later. That's called love. My wife comes to me and wants to kiss me. I need you to talk to her. She doesn't kiss me enough. She does. I'm just kidding. She comes to me to kiss me. I go, hey, baby, thank you, but I got something else to do. What am I saying to her? As newborn babes desire the sincere, pure milk of the Word that you may what? What does it say? Grow. You know what, Peter? I want to show you. Go with me to the last verse in 2 Peter. Last verse in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow. And the word grow here is a present imperative. This is your life. You see, if it was an aorist, then it would be you grow here and you grow here and you grow here. But since it's present tense and it's a command, that this is something that's a part of our life until He takes us home to glory. Every facet of our life is all about growing. What He says, look what He says, in grace and in the knowledge. We're to advance understanding the grace of God and in the knowledge of who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? You want to learn about God the Father? Learn about Christ. And you have the master teacher living within you. So therefore, desire the mind of Christ, the sincere milk, the pure milk of the Word, the meat of the Word. Hunger for it. that you may grow thereby. Now watch this. Here's an illustration for you. If next Sunday the back doors open and all of a sudden wheeled into this building is a man weighing 700 pounds. Now, I'm not being unkind here. How many of you in this building would look at that dear soul and go, "Wow, that's the picture of health"? Not a one of us, right? But you know what? What I've just described for you, I'm afraid, is too many believers. Please, I'm not being unkind when I do it this way. I'm just trying to illustrate something. But we're this big coming into church. And we have filled ourselves with Fox News, social media, all the things of this world, all of the recent happenings and all of the burdens and the heartaches and everything, and all the programs. We think programs change people. Not a program in the church has ever changed anybody. It's the Word of God that changes lives. We're full of all kinds of church stuff. And we're healthy. And just because, to encourage you in this regard as well, just because a church may be running 2,000 doesn't mean it's healthy. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's healthy. And when I'm describing this, here's a life, a believer that's been filled with, and don't misunderstand me, I love listening to Swindoll, I love reading the commentaries and all these things, but I'm going to tell you something, there's not one thing on this planet that equates with this book right here. Because every time I open it up, 2 Corinthians 3:18, I see Jesus. And one day, I'm going to see Him face to face. And I know, in a moment of twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed, exchanged. I'm going to drop this old flesh and put on that glorified body. But I'm going to tell you, are you ready for this? I'm going to put it in these terms. When He comes, I don't want Him to be back there, and because of my growth in Christ, then I'm way back there. No, I want to be, I want Him to live His life through me. I want to know Him. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. I want to know His Word. And I want to announce to you tonight, I don't know it like I should. I want to keep hungering, keep thirsting. Because I don't want to be this on all of the religious stuff. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. And so he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know when you tasted the Lord was gracious? It was the day you came to know Him as Savior. Amen? You understood His grace? That He'd reach down and take you out of the miry clay, set your feet on a solid rock, put a new song in your mouth, praise in your heart and praise in your lips to Him. I just want to be careful. Just want to say this in great love. From this point on, would you admit to God, I need to know You. Reveal Yourself to me in the Word. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Your truth. Unite my heart to fear Your name. And you know what? I promise you that when you come before Him in the Word, your heart will be like the psalmist. Go to Psalm 119. And I'm going to wrap this up right here. Psalm 119. I'm going to ask you that you would pray that God would give you the attitude of the psalmist toward the Word of God. And I want you to see that attitude. It's all through these 176 verses. But in particular, starting with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. With my whole heart. Watch what he says in verse 10. Have I sought Thee? Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Notice the honesty here. That's what you and I need to pray. Oh Lord, with my whole heart have I sought You. Don't let me wander off to Fox News. Don't let me wander off to Facebook. Don't let me wander off into worry. Don't let me wander off. Keep me in the path of Your Word. Be honest with Him. Don't be sacrilegious. Be honest with Him. He already knows your heart before you say anything anyway. Then notice what He says in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all of the psychological things of this world. Is that what it says? I told you I was getting ready to wrap up. Can I share just one little thing? My wife and I deal with this a lot. I believe with all of my heart that there are situations in life today where there are psychological, mental issues, whatever you want to call them. But I believe this, and I'll go to my grave on this. We love putting labels on things to give us excuses to use as a crutch, when in reality it's sin in our life and that we need to live in the power of the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying? Do I need to get a little more specific? We got all these labels, these alphabet labels. And I realize some of this is true. But I'm going to tell you, the answer to the majority of the scenarios is not more medicine. It's the medicine of God's Word. And we've been, since the Garden of Eden, love to blame somebody else. Instead of being a victor, we love being a victim. God help us. And you see that right here. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. A doctor says, you're this. And you go, okay, that's what I am the rest of my life. And that's why I do what I do. No, you do what you do is because you've got an old sin nature. And by the way, you do what you do because you think what you think, and what you think is based upon what you've come to know about who God is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Garbage in, garbage out. Lies in, lies out. Are you with me? Truth in? You got it. And when somebody comes up to you and says to you, hey, this is what's going on, you say, hey, you know what? I'm just studying in the Word this week. Let me show you a verse. Why don't you read this? And let the Holy Spirit use the Word to reach that heart. See? Then we'll notice what He says. He says, verse 15 or 14, I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies. You know, I'm just going to tell you, there. You come in here, watch this. What? I'm serious when I tell you this. You come in here and you sing and you rejoice and you say, I'm free and whatever. Let me tell you what, when you're reading God's Word, it's okay in your quiet place to all of a sudden go, yes, hallelujah. Woo! Why not? I walk out of a restaurant and I go, whoo, that was a meal. Wow. Wow. What a meal. Are you with me? I'll meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself and I will not forget Thy Word. I talked to you this morning about, and it's something that I have to work in my own life. And my wife is such a testimony to me about it. I, for God's glory, she has memorized the book of James and Philippians. And she's working on Proverbs 3 right now, I believe it is. And I don't say that to draw attention to her. I say that to say that a 67-year-old woman can memorize the Word of God. So can we. You can do anything you ought to do. We do what we want to do. So desire the sincere milk of the Word. So for us to get rid of the identity amnesia, which leads to an identity crisis, we better come to know this Jesus who lives in us so that we can walk in His way, and that comes about as the fact that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that all comes out of us when you come to know who's King. Do you know Him? Or do you know about Him? And what's going to be different this week? Are you going to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Even when you go home tonight. And I'm telling you, we're blessed with this. There's all kinds of Bible apps. Riding down the road, listen to the Word of God. Coming home from work, listen to the Word of God. Get your heart ready before you go in and meet your wife. Because that's your second job when you walk into that house. Taking care of your family. You got two jobs, man. Walk in the Word. Would you bow your head with me? Would you put into a sentence what God has said to you tonight? Is it readily seen what your identity is? Do you speak kingdom language because you know kingdom truth? When you gather with people, do you love to speak the truth of God's Word and share how great is our God, just like you do here when you sing? What's God been saying to you tonight? Put into a sentence that you could share with someone beside you. And by God's grace, what's going to be different? And you don't make a decision and say, well, I'll never go back from reading the Word of God again. No. You just simply say, my next step, Lord, teach me. My next step, teach me. It's step by step walking with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed privilege of coming alongside this congregation, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, my heart passion has been to speak the truth in love. Thank you that the entrance of your word does give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And Lord, I'm grateful to know that even tonight, that this is a living book. It's the mind of Christ. It's our roadmap that leads us home. Thank you tonight that your words are to be desired more than gold. Yea, more than much fine gold, and sweeter are they than honey on the honeycomb. Reminded tonight that moreover by your word we are warned, your servant, and there's great reward when we obey. Help us to obey. So, Lord, I wrap things up asking you that let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, because you're our strength and our Redeemer. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen. So let me ask you a question. What's going to be different about your life when you walk out those doors tonight? I beg you, love the God of this book, the words of this book. They are the words of life. You remember years ago, we used to sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and duty, teach me faith and beauty, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. You know why? Because and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Denise and I love you. Love God and his word much more. Thank you, Dan.